Final speaker is Mr. Eric Meyer, who is a PhD student in health behavior at the College of Public Health at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. And he will be discussing a new typology in sex offender legislation and an exploration of the laws that affect the sex offenders in Nebraska and Iowa.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Eric Meyer, and as I said, I am a second-year PhD student at University of Nebraska Medical Center. I also teach at the University of Nebraska as well at Creighton University. And in case you're wondering why I'm so old, a non-traditional student, I'm a former police officer, so this is a second career for me. It comes up, so I thought I'd just get it out there. Title of my presentation, A New Typology in Sex Offender Legislation, an inventory of all laws that affect sex offenders in Nebraska and Iowa. Since the 70s, the U.S. has enacted many laws to address sex offenders and offended. Some of the common types of laws that they've enacted are registration, community notification, civil commitment, and residency restrictions. In response, academics have studied these laws and discovered that the public is overwhelmingly supportive of this type of legislation. It makes me nervous every time it does that. This is in despite of evidence that indicates the laws fail to reduce recidivism. And in some cases, there's actually been a tick increase in recidivism. However, researchers are unable to fully evaluate the effectiveness of these laws. Why? Because they're unable to isolate one law, such as registration, from the effect of another law, like residency restriction. Also, there may be laws that have gone unnoticed or understudied by researchers. You have to understand there's a plethora of these laws out there. And how do these laws affect sex offenders and their behaviors? So the research questions in my study, what are all the laws that affect sex offenders and offending in Nebraska and Iowa? And do these laws vary across states in terms of their existence and content? As my mentor says, so what? What does this do for me? Well, there's three implications. I can develop a typology of sex offenders law, and currently there's two general types of laws out there that affect sex offenders. There's laws specific to them, and there's laws specific to all felons, like voting and gun ownership. So I think we can do a little bit better job. I can also highlight the amount of attention sex offenders have been receiving from legislatures. There's also an issue of public safety. If there's variation in sex offender laws in Iowa from Nebraska, does that mean a person's safer in Iowa than they are in Nebraska? Now, I needed some theoretical framework to guide me through this study. Now, I'm not here to prove any theory, but I wanted some theory to help explain what I was observing. And the first one is federalism, which is the 10th Amendment of the Constitution. This allows states to enact laws independently. Okay? This explains that variation can exist. It doesn't explain why the variation is the way it is, but it gives the possibility of variation. Now, to explain the variation itself, I use political culture. Every state has its own unique political culture, and it's generally divided into three different types. Individualistic, which is what Nebraska is, which means basically that a legislature won't pass any legislation unless they receive pressure from the public. Explains why Nebraska is really slow in enacting a lot of legislation. Moralistic, which is what Iowa is. Moralistic cultures tend to be founded by Scandinavians, and the legislatures will go ahead and enact laws if they think it's for the greater good of the public without any pressure from the public. Traditionalistic are states like Texas, which are concerned with the status quo. Now, a state can be a combination of these three, so that it's not just a strict individualistic, moralist, or traditionalistic. There is some variation or overlap, if you will. The method I used was a case study, and I explored all the laws in the states of Nebraska and Iowa that could affect sex offenders and offending. The methods employed for this study involved two stages. First, through a content analysis approach, a review was completed of all laws that could affect sex offenders and their behaviors in Iowa and Nebraska. And second, the laws were qualitatively coded with themes that emerged from the text. I use LexisNexis Academic, which is a large data source that holds all the laws for all the states, commonly used. And I used a really broad keyword search. The keyword search that I used was sex. Now, I knew if a law that affects sex offender, it would contain the word sex. However, it resulted in a lot of laws that had nothing to do with sex offending, like agriculture purposes or fishing licenses or whatever. But I was quickly able to narrow down the laws that I needed. And in Iowa, out of the 318 laws that came up during the keyword search, I narrowed it down to 130. And in Nebraska, out of the 306, I narrowed it down to 166. Variables and coding, again, the same themes came up: registration, notification, restriction, civil commitment, and so on. And then from that, I narrowed down the typologies to control and treatment. In other words, the government is using these laws to control behavior, or they're using these laws to actually treat the behavior. Now, these typologies are not unique. They've been used before in criminal justice research. Now, here's some interesting thing that occurred during my broad keyword search of just using the word sex. This is a judicial decision that came down that probably would have gone unnoticed, that does have implications that could affect sex offending behavior. And in the comment section, the judge said, "Sufficient evidence warranted granting the grandmother's motion for guardianship under this statute, as the mother had exhibited extremely poor judgment when she befriended and regularly communicated with a Texas prison inmate who was a registered sex offender, and the mother was currently unfit and had temporarily forfeited her parental rights to her child." Now, this judicial decision, I would have never seen had I not done the broad keyword search and used a qualitative method to review everything that just showed up. Now, here are the definitions of the control and treatment, or the control typology. Now, I subdivided the control typology into direct and indirect. Some laws directly told sex offenders they could do this or they couldn't do that. Some laws use a second party, like a government agency, like a sheriff's office, or a municipality, and instructed those agencies to do something. That's sort of an indirect approach. And I also found that some of these laws are now using the public, which I didn't expect. I mean, I knew the mandatory reporting laws, but there was some other legislation out there. They're using the public now to try to control sex offending behavior. The typology treatment is what it is. I divided that into mental health and medical treatment. Now, here's the breakdown of all the laws. At the top, you'll see the pool of all the laws that are broken down to control and treatment. Control was broken down to direct and indirect. I further broke down direct into life domains, like residency restriction, employment restriction, even restrictions on recreation. Criminal laws are your traditional criminal laws. Legal rights, there are lots of laws out there that specifically outline the rights of sex offenders. And then there's supervision laws. Those are your monitoring, electronic monitoring laws, your probation, parole type laws. Indirect, there's the government that I mentioned before. And then there's that indirect with the non-sex offending public. That's that new typology that I didn't expect to find. And I found that really interesting. And then treatment, medical, and mental treatment. When I broke down the laws, surprisingly, they came pretty similar. I mean, very exact, in fact. And in case you don't know, Nebraska is considered to be a Republican state, and Iowa is considered to be a Democrat state. So I kind of didn't expect that. An example of direct control, here's your traditional criminal law, sexual abuse in the second degree in Iowa. That outlines that. And here, Iowa had the only medical treatment law, and it's essentially chemical castration. Here's the results when I broke it down by direct and indirect, by government and indirect by public. And there it is again. It doesn't account for a lot of laws, but these laws are relatively new, and they're starting to appear. And I'm wondering if this won't be a trend in the future. And how does this trend affect behavior and mental and medical treatment? Examples of indirect control by government. In Iowa, they authorize municipalities to prohibit sex offenders from camping on public campgrounds. Okay, and that's just in municipalities. Another law, here's a broad law, in Iowa that says that gives municipalities the control to exercise any power and perform any function it deems appropriate to protect and preserve the rights, privileges, and property of the city or its residents. So they can, if they can justify it, they can make a law to prohibit parking for sex offenders. Examples of indirect control by public, and this is that law that that category that I really wasn't expecting to surface. And here's an example. Any person who believes that another person is a dangerous sex offender must communicate such beliefs to the county attorney. Now, this has come up in our institution when we've done research with prostitutes, because as you know, a lot of the women had a history of being victimized sexually in their past, and yet they probably never told anybody. Our researchers didn't know whether to tell the police or not, because this is new information to them. Eventually, we worked it out with the county attorney that they signed a waiver. If they didn't want law enforcement informed, we wouldn't. But it's an example on how these laws can affect us. The second one, the patient who is a sex offender is mandated to receive mental treatment. And if he or she cannot pay for that treatment, the family of that individual is liable. So again, this is a type of a method to control sex offenders and their behavior by using members of the non-sex offending public. Here's an interesting one out of Iowa that mandates employees who print photographic images that if they run across images of someone who they believe to be under the age of 18 who are engaged in a sexual act, that they have to call law enforcement. Now, what's going on here? Why are sex offenders receiving so much attention from legislatures? Well, my hypothesis is this. And we're talking about an offense that brings about strong emotions. And I said in the beginning that the public's overwhelmingly in favor of. Legislatures have tapped into this. They realize they don't want to be labeled soft on crime or even soft on sex offenders, so that they're safe drafting this sort of legislation. They get positive feedback from it. So as V.O. Key said, they're more concerned with the latent opinion, not the opinion that appears at the time of them passing the legislation, but the opinion that rises to the surface during election time. And if they can show that they're passing these types of laws to protect the public, it works in their favor. Now, in conclusion, scholarships in regards to the taxonomy of public policy is not abundant, and that's unfortunate. To say authorities attempt coercion only through regulation is obviously false. There are countless methods governments seek to control society and individual behavior. As said by Geertz, who's one of my heroes, man is an animal suspended in webs of significance. He himself has spun. Thus, to obtain an explanation of man's webs, at least in part, we must discover the different types of any given phenomena, which must include public policy. We do this to obtain orderly control and methods of prediction. Sex offender laws are an anthology of heterogeneous policies that should be inventoried and categorized into more homogeneous types. This is so advancements can be accomplished on the etiological undertaking and more efficacious policies can be designed. The taxonomy of sex offender laws allows for an analysis of both within and between sample differences and can be used as an instrument for epidemiological surveillance of sex offender policy trends and patterns. In other words, inventory measures can be applied to reveal the latent meanings of policies and to guide the development, implementation, and analysis of the laws that affect the behaviors of sex offenders. As said by Lowy, who's one of the few researchers who studies typologies of legislation, in hard and practical terms, a good taxonomy of policies might enable this underdeveloped part of the field by converting these important phenomena into variables, which make them more aesthetic to the scientists in political science. Thank you very much.